Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you today. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, and we're very excited to welcome Amy Slavsky of Cambium Development Group. Now, Cambium is part of the tree where cells reproduce and grow. When a tree is nurtured with sunlight, water, and nutrients, its growth is accelerated through the rings of the cambium. And this is where Amy Slavsky comes in. Yes, believe it or not. She's the founder of Cambium Development Group, where she accelerates individual and organizational growth through coaching, leadership, and organizational development. See, that's where the link is. Amy's mission is really to nurture professional and personal growth and to empower people to achieve their absolute best. Amy works with organizations as well as individuals to help reach their leadership and professional development goals. She works with individuals focused on self-development and with emerging leaders whose organizations have identified their growth potential and are investing in their development. She's worked in every level of leadership, from entry-level supervisors all the way up to an organizational department head. And prior to launching Cambium, Amy held leadership positions for about 25 years, and she left corporate America to open her own practice and expanded her reach to multiple organizations. Amy has a real passion for women in leadership. She says she found that when she worked with women, particularly in a group coaching environment, they're able to create a very strong bond and almost a lifelong network of support. When you bring a group of women together, they tend to be vulnerable, authentic, and transparent. They're worried about how they're being perceived, so they immediately build trusts with each other, which accelerates their development. Very excited to welcome her live and direct from Aurora, Ohio, Amy Slavsky of Cambium Development Group. Amy, it's great to have you with us on a Monday. Thank you very much for joining us, and good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me today, Jim. It's such a pleasure to be here.
You are very, very welcome. It's a pleasure, and I'm very excited about sharing your story and your passion for what you do and have done for quite some time. You know, taking a look at your own life's journey and some of the things that have inspired you along the way, Amy, which resulted in the creation of the group, tell us about some of your background as a leader and about the strong desire you have through your own inspirational journey to help people in the beautiful way that you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I entered leadership very, very early in my career. I was just identified early on as somebody that had leadership potential. And I muddled my way through it and did the best I could with just, you know, gut instinct and did pretty well with it.
Yeah.
I eventually got to a point in my career, though, where I was part of a team. We were developing an internal coaching group in my company. And I was selected to be trained as one of the coaches as part of that group. And going through that process, being coached, first of all, as part of my certification, and then having, you know, internal leaders that I was delivering coaching to, I fell in love. I thought, wow, this coaching thing is it's phenomenal what it can do. My first person I ever formally coached in that is absolutely thriving now. And it was just fascinating to me how much you can accelerate the process when you bring a coach into the mix of things. In fact, if you think of the term coach, it actually is derived from stagecoach, that old, you know, old Western thing that gets people from point A to point B. You can always walk that journey,
right,
but you get there a lot faster if you're using a coach to help you get there. And looking back, I wish I'd had the opportunity to work with a coach when I was in my first leadership role. I'm sure I would have been much more effective and it would have come out. I would have accelerated my career more rapidly as well as a result of it. But I've learned a lot along the way, and I'm at a point in my life and my career where I just really want to give back, and I want to help people, like you said in my introduction, empower them to achieve their absolute best.
Which is, again, a beautiful thing to be doing, and having that passion led to the creation of Cameo Development Group. Tell us about that and what your mission is. And again, the title, I mentioned a little bit of the nature sort of relationship. Tell us about the selection of the title as well.
I love the pun on nature there, Jim. That was a good one.
Yeah.
As I had gotten to a point in my career where I felt like I had just learned a lot, and thinking through, I was ready to do something different, and you know, what is it that I wanted to do? And I love the coaching and the training aspect of my job so much that I decided I want to do something where I can just really focus on that. And I also want to broaden my reach. When you work inside one organization, you're able to impact the people in that company, which is fantastic. But by going external, I can work with a variety of companies from around the world and a variety of people from around the world and really broaden my impact. When you coach someone, the impact you have is like, just to give an example, I was coaching this woman, worked through an exercise with her. The next coaching session, I came back and talked to her about it. And she goes, you know, I love that exercise so much, I did it with my team. So right there, I worked with one person and 10 people had the benefit of the work that we did together. And that's really what I want to do with starting the business and going out on my own.
That's terrific. Yeah, and you took the bull by the horn and you went with it. And your background as a leader, of course, pointed you in that direction as well. You mentioned having the coach yourself and wishing you had a coach like you. What was the specific thing that you would have wished you had the coach for, if there was anything specific?
Yeah, I would say it's common for a lot of people. When you move from individual contributor to leader, your focus needs to be different. As an individual contributor, you're focused on being the person that does all the work and gets the results and gets the recognition for the results. When you're a leader, it's about empowering your team to do that. It's giving them direction. It's removing roadblocks, coaching and developing them, and enabling them with all the tools and resources they need to deliver on your vision. And so that transition to leadership, I made the same mistake a lot of new leaders make, is I rolled up my sleeves and got in there and did a ton of work. I should have delegated more. I should have developed more. I should have led very differently than I did. I led by example of I'm working hard, so everyone else under me should be working hard. And a coach would have helped me to figure out to focus more on development.
Right, exactly. So you're very aware of that, which is really amazing to have it so focused. Your coaching process, you know, everybody has their own style and their unique take and what they bring to their approach. Tell us about your specific coaching process. Say, for example, you've been hired by a client. What are some of those first steps with the initial contact? Is it an assessment that you do? I know establishing trust in the very beginning is essential between you and them, them and you, because they might be opening up and sharing things with you that they don't share with their closest loved ones and friends. So that trust is essential in the beginning and throughout the process. So tell us a little about your style and what the initial steps are like.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit it right on the head there with you got to build the trust up front, because it's a confidential relationship, but people don't open up unless they trust you. So the very first session I just refer to as my intake session, it's really about a get-to-know-you type of thing. So I self-disclose things about me. I always start here, let me tell you about myself, and I give them a lot about my background, personally and professionally, and just start building the rapport, and then I ask them to share what they'd like to share with me about themselves. And then we go and we talk about, you know, what it is that they want to get out of coaching. You know, if, you know, we got together a year from now and said that this coaching engagement was a success, what stories might they be telling me that indicates it's a success? So I'm able to start building kind of what is it that they want to achieve out of it. I don't jump in right away with doing assessments, like formal, you know, approved assessments. I usually do a few sessions just to better assess what's going to be the best fit for my client, what they need most. I always start my coaching process with building the vision. And I have people look out 10 years from today. And, you know, Jim, if I asked you, hey, Jim, what do you want your career and your life to look like in 10 years? You'd probably look at me and go, I have no idea, Amy. And that's what most of my clients do. People are so focused on the day-to-day and getting just through the motions of life that we forget to pause and dream and figure out what it is that we want. So I have a bunch of exercises and activities that we do to help draw that out and get these adults to be like children again, where the sky's the limit and they're dreaming about whatever. There's no boundaries. They can have anything they want. Yeah. And then we really distill it down into a realistic vision. And I find that when I do that, it creates an emotional shift for the person. They hired me because they want something different. They're at a point of pain, if you will. Like maybe they're trying to get to a promotion or maybe they're a leader and they aren't as effective as they think they can be and they're trying to take it up a notch. Whatever it is, there's something wrong, if you will. But when we create the vision, we switch from pain pushing them to desire pulling them. So now they're so excited about this compelling vision that they're ready to roll up their sleeves and do whatever works involved to change their behaviors, to learn and grow and develop to get to that vision.
Mm. And that's a beautiful thing, right? Because the best investment you can ever make really is the investment in yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have clients that will hire me directly, pay out of their own pocket to work with a coach, and I usually see a huge success rate, like 100% success rate with those clients because they're financially investing as well as investing the time. And I also work with the corporate sector where the company is paying and sending somebody to work with me as a coach. And part of what I do with them is just make sure that they're ready and they're going to invest the time that they need to make the changes that they want to make to get to that vision.
Right, exactly. And that's all essential. It's all part of the whole equation. What are some typical challenges that you tend to work with that you're coaching clients on? Now, I know, speaking of the great pause and opportunities to pause, the last 2 years of our lives have given us this opportunity to reevaluate, recalibrate, reboot, and a lot of people have been trying to do that, looking to do that, finding ways to do that with everything that's gone on. I would imagine you've been helping guide your clients through and navigate through all of this and find some refocus and repurposing and clarity. So that has been added in. That's the atypical, and then there's the typical challenges. Tell us how you've been weaving all of that in and working with your clients on the, you know, the usual things that they come to you for, and then sometimes these unscripted things like we've experienced the last 2 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen an uptick in clients coming to me saying, I don't know what I want, but I know it's not this. Like I'm ready for something to be different, but I haven't figured out what different looks like to me. So with them, that whole vision process helps get them to figure out what that looks like. And then from there, we figure out how to navigate. And I've had clients do complete 180s with where they are now, like complete career transitions where, you know, somebody that's in a very technical career field and doing very, very well in that area that wants something different that's now exploring a creative aspect and what she wants to do there and the possibilities of making a career from the creative side of things. And that would not have been available to her previously if she hadn't felt this need for a shift because the world is different now. She's having some challenges with it. But some other typical challenges that I see from clients, it's all around, I'm doing air quotes here, the soft skills, which I think are really hard to develop. It's things around, you know, your communication, your style, and how to approach things more effectively to build relationships, work through conflict, influence, just communicate more effectively, how to build trust, credibility, gain respect, how to navigate through career transitions, and even just, you know, the foundations of emotional intelligence. A lot of my clients come with a really good, solid baseline of positive emotional intelligence and just needing to take it up another notch or two to be more effective in those roles. So all those different skills that are a little bit more difficult and take more time to learn, to develop, that's what I usually see.
That's great. That's terrific. And again, I know you're very passionate about it as well. You know, invariably, you're working with people with some degree of ambition, But once they're promoted into a position of leadership, sometimes it becomes not about them anymore. And that's an important pivot point, right, for them to realize that it isn't just about them being the leader. There are people that they're leading and that they need to inspire and be empathetic towards, and team effort, roll up the sleeves, and let's all dive in together. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said earlier, that is a challenging transition for people to kind of wrap their head around it. A lot of times when people step into that first leadership role, they feel a little bit lost. You know, they have accountability to deliver results to their organization, and they're used to doing it by themselves. So figuring out how to inspire your team to create a compelling vision versus, you know, delegate out the work. You got to get people to want to do the work. It's very different than, like, say, a military situation where you follow your commander. Your commander says, do this, you need to follow. In corporate America, people can go get another job, especially in this economy. People are leaving in droves from their companies. So it's even more critical that leaders are inspiring, they're motivating, they're developing, and they're tapping into their team and allowing them to work on things that fuel them. It not only moves the company forward, but also that the individuals gain some benefit through new experiences, opportunity to work on parts of teams and engage in different ways.
Which is important. Engagement is critical to all of this. The leadership challenges that are unique to women, because I know you really, really super serve the demographic. Tell us about those leadership challenges that you see that are unique to women specifically.
Yeah, and I would say leadership challenges are leadership challenges. Men and women both experience them. What
Absolutely.
I typically see, what I see a lot, like, let me just give an example of a particular client I worked with. She was in a male-dominated environment, in a male-dominated industry. She was really the only person that looked like her. She looked around her. She supervised men. She was led by men, all that. And when we started working together, she was really struggling. She was just miserable in her environment. And the first thing she looked to was, I look and think differently than everybody around me. And that kind of became her focus about, they're treating me differently because I'm a woman. And we had to work together to really shift her mindset around that. And, you know, one of my mantras is, the only behavior you can change is your own. So rather than looking and saying all these people are treating me differently, why don't we take a look at how might I adjust my behaviors to be received more effectively? And that's the work that we did. So we talked about her environment and her scenarios, and I remember her coming to one of our coaching conversations, and this was one that we were able to get together in person. And when she walked in the room, I could see a different person was walking into the room. She walked in with so much more confidence. She was absolutely beaming. Just, you could feel the positivity coming off of her. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she goes, let me tell you about what just happened last week. And she was in a situation where there was a problem going on with her team, you know, trying to deliver results to the customer. There's a problem going on, and her behavior that she'd been doing before was to go in and tell everyone what to do, to be, you know, to direct the work and take charge and take over. And as a result of our coaching, she changed her approach to, instead of directing, she went in asking questions. And she asked them, what do you think we need to do? And she empowered her team to come up with a solution, and then she trusted them to do it. And that became a turning point for her with the relationship with her subordinates. So it's things like that you know, I help women work through to figure out what behavior might they adapt, still being authentically themselves. I don't want people to change who they are at their core, but how might you adapt your behavior and approach things a little bit differently to increase your effectiveness?
Now, you work with individual clients, but you also have a group coaching program for women too, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I put this together because I felt the power of bringing women together. Women tend to support women when we're in these types of environments. So I've worked both in, like, groups within the same company all working together, as well as I have open enrollment programs where, you know, any woman can join and they meet each other in the program and we work together. I follow the same type of coaching process I use with individuals. We start with the whole vision and all of that, but we do it with a group. And the benefit of that is we coach each other. So I'm facilitating the process, but I would invite people to come to the session and say, hey, who needs some spotlight coaching today? Who just needs some insight or some help with something? And somebody will bring up, you know, a challenge they're facing or something that they just want to discuss. And then the whole group chimes in and shares thoughts and ideas. So they walk away with a variety of perspectives about how to approach things, not just my own perspective with it. So when I do the public program, I break that one down into what I refer to as 3-month sprints. So we'll work together every other week for 3 months. We'll take a couple months off, then we'll come back together again and work for another 3 months. And I have 3 levels that they go through in this program, which all build upon each other and essentially is the same program I deliver to somebody individually.
Absolutely, yes. I like the fact that you offer that. There's also an organizational development aspect of your work. Define that for us and then tell us a little bit about how you incorporate that into what you do as well, Amy.
Yeah, I work with small to mid-sized corporations as well as nonprofit organizations and just help them with organizational effectiveness. So this could be coming in and working with them on what's their learning and development strategy. You know, what is it they're trying to accomplish to achieve their goals, first of all, and how might learning and development help them get there? I'll put together a strategy. I'll come in and facilitate training, whether it's, you know, virtual or physically coming in person. I'll help design training materials. If they're working through some sort of organizational change initiative, I can help them with that. I do a lot with employee engagement and retention. That's huge right now because of what's going on in our economy. A lot of companies are focused on how do we not only attract talent to come join our organization, but the ones that are here, how do we keep them from leaving? What do we need to shift and do differently to keep everyone here?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And that's key to all of this as well. This really would be an interesting question because, you know, it's not one size fits all. So I don't know if there really is an ideal client because you work with so many different people from different backgrounds and, you know, hopes, dreams, desires, fears, experiences. But is there an ideal client?
I would say the ideal client is somebody that is willing and wants to do the work. I get calls from corporations where they have somebody who is underperforming. They've had lots of difficult conversations with them, and they're very close to terminating the employee. In that situation, it is so hard to turn it around if the person doesn't recognize the need to change is not willing to change. So I work better with people that want something different, want to change, and want to do the work to get there. As you mentioned, I specialize working with women, but I also work with men. And I really enjoy working with millennials as well. It seems like where the millennials are right now in their career path, a lot of them are at the point of needing some sort of transition or transformation where they're looking to get to the next level of leadership, or some of them are still looking to get into their first leadership role. And I just really enjoy that sector because they are willing to do the work and invest in themselves to get what they want. Yet millennials, a lot of their tendencies is they crave balance, and they also crave giving back to society. And a lot of the work I do is around the whole person, so it works really well with them when I say, okay, what's your vision for your social contribution over the next 10 years? What's your vision for your, you know, fun entertainment side of yourself? And we can look at all aspects of that and really put together the full picture of the pie of what they want and then start working toward it.
Mm. That's important, yes. The striking out and achieving the balance and harmony seems daunting, but you can help them sort of at least put one foot in front of the other and head in that direction in this crazy and sometimes what seems like an upside-down world. I'm sure that you also have a wealth of success stories, case studies, testimonials. Do you have one or two that you might want to share and you're particularly proud of the results and the progress and where they've headed going initially from point A to point B through your guidance and your expertise and your approach?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I have a couple I'd like to share.
Yeah.
One of them was the first group program I put together. I actually did it while I was still within my organization. And we had taken a group of women that were on a succession plan and ran them through. They were all going through a training program, and then I was brought in to help coach them as part of that. And when I looked at some of the data around what we accomplished there, before incorporating that group coaching into it, our high potential women on succession plans, our retention rate was probably about 50%. So we'd invest in sending them to training classes, and then they'd leave and go get a job someplace else, and we'd only keep half of them. And it also, we found that the promotability, they weren't ready for promotion for a good 3 years. After doing this program, I looked at the results. We retained 100% of the people in the program, and 80% were ready to promote within 2 years. 50% we promoted within the year. In fact, while we were still doing the program, they got promoted. And I even talked to some of the leaders since I was inside the organization. I went and talked to them, and I said, I saw the succession data. When this person entered the program, you thought it was going to take 3 years for them to be ready to step into a role. What shifted? And I said, well, their behavior. I thought it was going to take 3 years, but the things I've seen them do and how they've changed their behavior and their leadership style has shown me that they're ready now. And in some cases, the company actually created a position and promoted them earlier because they didn't want to lose them because they knew the person was ready and they wanted to make sure that, that they were able to retain them. So just the power of, like I said, when you work with a coach, it just accelerates your growth and your path. And then individually, I worked with a gentleman at the beginning of COVID who was just completely overwhelmed and stressed out and just felt very scattered in his life. Just a lot of, you know, that transition to working from home, the whole family's at home, childcare, all of that stuff, plus meeting all the demands of work, and just kind of frazzled. And we were able to get him more grounded and figure out his boundaries and figure out what his day needed to look like. And also some of the things that he needed to stop doing. And either it didn't need to be done anymore or somebody else needed to be doing it. And then once we got him more grounded, then we were able to really take off on some leadership characteristics and prepare him to step into a future role with it, which he's already been promoted, I think, twice now since we've worked together. I know at least once, because he was able to, he's been given a lot more responsibility, yet he's working less hours than he was previously. That's really a direct quote from him on one of our last sessions together before he rolled off being a client.
Isn't that incredible? That's really sensational when that happens like that. What if somebody – oh, we have just a few seconds left. About a minute, I think. Maybe we can squeeze this in quick. If someone's not ready to work with a coach yet, are there ways that you can support them?
Yeah, if they want to subscribe, I produce a weekly newsletter called Amy's Insights, and it's not like a sales thing at all. I send out professional development tips and exercises that people can do. So they can go out to my website at cambiumdevelopment.com and sign up for that. And then occasionally I do some complimentary training programs. I can also sign up for some of those as well. But it just, you know, they get delivered directly to your inbox every week, little tips and tricks that can help, they can work on to help develop their leadership and professional skills.
And that's cambiumdevelopment.com, CAMBIUM, and then the word development.com. Amy, this was fantastic. I appreciate your sharing all of this with us here on the show. It's obvious that you're very talented, skilled, and all in with it, and you really want to help people. I encourage folks to make contact with you and hope we get a chance to explore some more down the line on the show, maybe hear some more success stories. And it was a pleasure having you on Close Up Radio as my guest today. I hope to chat some more down the line.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim. It's been great meeting with you today.
You as well. Continued success and best of the holidays, and I'm sure we'll chat some more down the line. Again, Amy Zalapsky, Cambium Development Group, CambiumDevelopment.com is the website. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you as well and wish you the best of the holidays. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another great guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.